Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Yes, indeed. Received with infinite love and great attitude, also known as gratitude. Yes, we are back. It's a new day. It's a new moment. It's a moment to really fall into the truth of who we are, recognize our power, and know that we are part of a love matrix. Because we're waking up. We awake. We see the truth, we know the truth, we live the truth, we be the truth, because we know who we are.
I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, I am peace, I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you, I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Truly, 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 I say to you, you are free. You are one with the One. You are one with the Most High. You are one with the Creator. You are one with the love that is forever present, right here, right now. And we are getting ready to take it all in, to connect with the folks that love us, those who are on the other side of them. And we know they stand on shoulders. They're whispering in our consciousness, in our ears, and you can do this. Don't give up. I got you. We got you. We celebrate you. And as we celebrate Black History Month, African American History Month, the month of love, perfect month, perfect month to celebrate Black History Month, even if, as a loyal friend, gives honor to the ancestors. Giwai Mata, Bunga, we welcome you, and we'll be back.
alafia ashe ashe. Uwani alafia ashe ashe.
Go all the way to the end, the call of your ancestors as you, the call of your heartbeat. Yes, yes, yes. Giwayi Mata. You can find out more about them by going to their website, giwayimata.org, GIWAYENMATA.org. These sisters who play the drum like nobody else, based in Atlanta, Georgia. Check them out. That's Funga. a welcoming song. Open our heart to you. We say yes to life. And I welcome all of you that are here. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Sessions Radio, where change begins and change is inspired, and you make a difference because you can't help yourself. Even if you could, you can't help it. You just got to make a change because you're here to make a change. You signed on for this mission. You said yes. You jumped the line. You jumped the queues. And I got this. Trust your decision. Trust your intention. Trust your heart. Trust pure awareness. And we had Carly Jackson reminding us who we are. That we are indeed free. That we are whole. That we are complete. That we are the delight of the goddess. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show on lifeconversationsradio.com. I am your host. The I Am Presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade. And today, we have the brothers in the house. The brothers are in the house to share their thoughts, their points of view, love, relationships, life, which means so much more. And you get to ask the brothers, especially ladies, questions you've always wanted to know. Call in 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346 is the number, and you can send an email and all that other good stuff. And but you get that information later. How's everybody feeling? How are you doing? This beautiful month, February, the love month, the Black History Month, African American History Month, the month set aside to recognize those who came before us and those who are still here. The African-American story is an important story in American history. And we can't ignore it. We can't debate it. Well, we can, but you can try and ignore it, try and debate about it and pontificate about it until there is truth and reconciliation, until we can make space for all that we feel collectively. We will forever deal with the consequences. All that happened in the past must be brought to a space of healing. And you can't skip. You've got to acknowledge the truth. What is, what was, and what will be. Thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up. I welcome all of you on the phone lines, those of you listening online and through all the social medias. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you. And those of you listening to the archive, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you too. And, of course, we can't forget our within radio listeners. Lori is in the house. Celeste is in the house. Yvette is in the house. Sankofa is in the house. Other people are in the house, but they're trying to be incognito. Don't ask. Don't ask. Life is good. It's getting better. Let me bring on Celeste. See? Oh, nice. Let me bring on Celeste. Where is she? She is right here. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing? Okay, am I on the wrong one? So let's try this. Okay, that's the one I need. Hello, Celeste.
Hello. I'm great on this Monday. It's kind of dreary, but, you know, we've got liquid sunshine outside and sunshine in the studio. I'm pumped to be with you and the gentlemen who are going to be joining you in the studio shortly. I'm fired up. How was your Super Bowl experience last night?
Well, the great thing about it for me, that I'm not necessarily a football fan. I do have some friends who are football fans, so they kind of get me in. And I'm the kind of, I mean, sports, I do sports, but not crazy. I think my number one sport is basketball because I love it. It's fast, it's quick. But generally, I'm kind of like, yeah, you know, I like tennis, but I'm not a fanatic. I'm not a fan. Well, I am I'm the kind of fan that sometimes I'm not fully committed, I guess. but yesterday, looking at how the Broncos got their tail whooped, I mean, they castrated that horse. I was like, oh my God. Yes, they did. They did.
Okay.
That horse.
Okay.
That horse is dead.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it was.
All right.
But it's going to resurrect. You know, it's going to resurrect, you know, because there's life after life.
It's got all your
So we ain't tripping.
Yeah. No, we're not. Not at all. So, no. No, I'm excited to be here with you and Yvette and all the family in a chat room and on the phone lines. What's up, baby sister? Had to. We don't do shout-outs. We do love-outs, and we barely do that anymore.
No, we don't do
shout-outs. What can I do?
We don't do shout-outs.
But my family's on the line.
We don't do shout-outs. We just don't do shout-outs. But if we did, you would say shout-out to your sister. I guess.
Yeah.
But we don't.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
well, happy Monday to you then. Okay, fine. You the boss.
yes.
We good.
Say that again.
I let them know I'm just playing. We good.
No, we good. We good.
Yeah, we always
well,
what's got,
how was your weekend? Morgan. How was your Super Bowl Sunday?
Why are you asking me? So I can say it on the air today. It's on my Facebook wall that I need to trust myself more, that I need to trust my very basic, beautifully divine, simple gift. Here's the other thing that I didn't say. When what you predict is 3 hours later in a news feed somewhere, because it's
happened?
A confirmation. Look, if what you say, your prophecy, like a couple of hours later, this newspaper journalist came up with it, at that point, you need to go back to the source. I'm not used to being synchronistic with newspapers. I should have known I was in trouble. Two was running yesterday. Look, it's simple. Two was running yesterday. I didn't stay focused on the moment. I got caught up in the year. There's a spiritual message to this mistake that I made, okay? So I'm all going on, it's the year of the horse. It's the Chinese New Year. Yeah, the Broncos going to get it. And I'm like, wait a minute, what number was running yesterday? Two. What's number two in medicine cards? The Hawk. Seahawk.
Yep.
Year is about water, I keep saying. You know, seven is ruled by Neptune. Oh, and to put the icing on the cake, did they really win by 43, which equals seven, which is the chariot, which is victory? I'm okay. This is a psychic meltdown about the football. I'm okay, though. I mean, I will never forget my gifts, how just trust the moment. Don't jump into the year. You always get in trouble when you do that. So that's how I'm doing.
Good.
So
the Hawk brought you a message, huh? And you got the message that was sent from the Hawk, the true messenger.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you
You're
for allowing
very
me
welcome.
To...
You said what?
Thank you for allowing me to express that frustration on the air. I will go back and listen again whenever I don't want to trust my intuition.
Yeah, you know, this is the house of love, and we're supporting even you on your transformation journey. So you bring it on.
I love it.
Disagreement, frustration. We're here to support all our listeners and those who work on with Life Conversations Radio Network. We need each other. So.
All right, you. I'm out.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Except
all right,
for...
talk to you later. You'll be
okay,
back.
Wait, there's one more thing. I know, but there's one more quick thing, though. You know the Raven. Mm-hmm. I picked the Ravens last year because their number was 16, and 1 plus 6 equals 7, which was victory, and I brazenly said that on the air, and they won 34-7, 43-7. You see that? Do you see that? Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Good. So let's just drop the mic.
I dropped.
Deuces.
Deuces.
Thank you, Celeste. Deuces, there goes the two again. Ooh, I know she's tripping on that right now. Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Sports Show with Celeste Yontaya Morgan, breaking it down. Yes, the brothers are making it into the studio, getting comfortable. Today's theme, today's topic is masculine viewpoint on love, relationship, and life. The brothers, they come every month. Now, we don't have everybody today. We only have Ashande and Don Wolf. Kasembe couldn't make it, and Joe couldn't make it. But the train keeps rolling, and they'll be back next month. And if you have any questions, thoughts, ideas, you know, for the show with the brothers, feel free to send it in. And Celeste will give you that information in a few minutes. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. We'll be back after this short announcement.
Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find a metaphysical rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com, hover on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Do you have questions or show topics you would like Life Coach Today to consider for upcoming shows? You could email him that too at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. The theme for the month of February is Activate the Love Matrix. And we also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network for you. Be sure to join Mbasa Safera for the Play Experience every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also tune in to Ancestral on the last Wednesday of the month. You can also join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. The Ask Life Coach Today radio show is also syndicated on Within Radio every Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on InspireBroadcasting.com. And don't miss the musical odyssey of Sounds of Soul with the Danny Feloce on 12radio.com every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't let the soul train depart without you. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you. As Celeste just reminded you, or told you, the theme for this month is Activate the Love Matrix. You know, we get caught up and talk about, oh, yeah, the Matrix, we all part of the Matrix, and trying to get out of the Matrix. I get it. But it's time to reclaim our power and recognize that even the Matrix that we want to get out of, we created it. If we're one with everything, we're one, we're connected, we're interrelated, then we're interrelated with the Matrix. So now we're taking it up a notch. Like, it's time to stop being afraid of the Matrix, reclaim your power, and activate the Love Matrix. So next time someone says, you know, in the Matrix, you can say, which one are you talking about? Because I am not in the one that's limiting me. I'm the one that's about expansion. I am part of the Matrix that unifies in the name of love, in the name of good. And we have the brothers in the house who are going to support us on that journey of activating the love matrix. Yet. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. Let's tell you a little bit about the brothers, and we can continue the conversation. Celeste, tell us about the brothers, please.
It is my pleasure. I'm going alphabetically. Ashindi Aman is a vibrant spirit, a father, a husband, a sensor for spiritual living practitioner. He is an urban mystic, occultist, soul-filled artist, poet, and spiritual activist. Ashindi is committed to using his particular way of God expression in helping others see love in and through their life. He also serves as co-chair for the Masters of Light Ministry, Out of Guidance. Ashindi is in the process of compiling the prayer treatment prose he has been writing, some of which have been written prayer works for Guidance Ministry of Prayer Outreach. His charge and mission has been to spread the seeds of love and light to each experience he's been blessed to have. And then our other special guest is Gregory E. Woods, also known as Don Wolf. He is a musician, a writer, a social activist, and a keeper of stories. He says that stories are a healer's tool, an intangible, tangible force of creation and from creation. He uses the art of weaving stories in diverse settings to restore balance and clarity of thought, spirit, and intent to people in and out of ceremonial settings, especially while supporting the youth at the Empowerment Center and other educational facilities in the greater Washington metropolitan area. Gregory E. Woods has accepted as his life's mission to provide insight about living through his stories. Family, please welcome the brothers to the panel, Ashindi Aman and Gregory E. Woods, Don Wolf.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you. Yes, Ashindi, how are you doing, my brother?
I am doing well. How are you?
Very well. I am wonderful. I'm grateful to have you here. Don Wolf, keeper of stories. How are you doing, my brother?
I had a feeling Irie, brother.
The multidimensional brother. Nice to have you. And as you know, Kesembe and Joe are not able to make it, so it's just the three of us. Oh, but I think we'll be all right, right?
You'll be fine.
Yes,
I missed them.
Yes, indeed.
Definitely.
Well, let's do this. I haven't done this with you guys, especially when we do the show, so I'm going to just do it today. I don't think we did it last month, but it really doesn't matter. Now is the only thing that, now is the only time that matters. Don Wolf, Gregory E. Woods, the keeper of stories. Who are you?
I am an expanding light and an evolving source of energy.
Expanded light. You're going to set us ablaze, huh? You're going to set you. What's that song? You're going to light our fire. So if we all kind of feeling sluggish or crusty, or you're going to wake us all up. Yep, I'm ready for that.
It's more. If you want to use song, it's more like Ohio Players Fire.
Fire. Okay, good. Old school. Okay, stop it. I think. Ashindi, who are you?
Who am I? Love personified. That's who I am.
Expanding light and love personified. Oh, it's going to be a great show. It's going to be. We're talking about light and love, ladies. So, let's jump in. Let me just start. Let's just kind of touch bases and see where you guys have been and what's moving in your consciousness and your awareness. So, Ashindi, I'll go to you first. What's been going on in your world? What have you been seeing? How have you been viewing life, your life? that you just kind of, you know, just want to share with us. Or even if you weren't planning to share with us, you can share with us now because I asked.
Well, one of committed practice, sacred resilience, and understanding.
Mm.
Understanding. And that's what's been coming up for me in my experiences as of yet.
Mm. So you say committed practice, right?
Yeah, just a committed practice to being love personified. And however that shows up, you know, because we're out here in the world, and so there come those moments when you have to be love personified.
I want that old guy. I want you to break that down. When you talk about the experience that reminds you to be love personified, I want you to break it down, unpack that for us. What does that mean? Let's get behind it. Let's get into it.
Well, for instance, the other day, I was passing out some flyers for the ministry at the church I'm in, Masters of Light. We had a community employment workshop. So the community is kind of rough. So I'm passing out the flyers, and the brother says, "Player, give me a dollar." I said, "Well, hey, brother, look what I just gave you. We're having a job fair right across the street."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Oh, I can't make it over there."
You can make it over there, like, you get up there or cross over to the job fair.
Now, I've just seen this guy. He's standing up. He's jumping up and down. So there's nothing wrong with his legs. And the job fair has got free clothes giveaway. It's everything you could want to go get the job.
Mm-hmm.
So the oldest in day would have went into a whole nother construct with that. And I would have been, you know, selling clown tickets. But I had to go into love personified
Stop right there. Before you went into love personified, what happened? Was there something in between or not?
Well, it was just his attitude of like, you know, F this stuff. Give me a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to walk over there and look for no job. I want you to give me a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, wow, that's a very way out kind of way to be.
Mm-hmm.
So Oda Sende would have started just messing him up verbally, taking his character apart and everything and showing his flaws. But that's not where I'm at right now. So I have to look through him through another lens and see, like, he was being real. He couldn't go over there right now because his state of consciousness just couldn't propel him to walk across the street and get a job.
Right.
And so that's
right.
The stuff that we got to build on and do some work with as a, you know, as a community. So
mm-hmm. I am with you on that. I am with you on that. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Don Wolf, what's percolating in your conscience? What have you been moving through, growing through, just smoking? Because I know you smoke life, and then you blow it back out like, ooh, and watch all the symbols.
Well, speaking of smoke, last night I come back from a Super Bowl party, and late, and I had the privilege of sitting on my porch with my cat and a very good Casablanca cigar, but that's not the subject.
It can be. Well, you have a way of tying everything in, so I just wait. You said what?
You threw me when you said smoke.
Yeah, you know, this is a platform for us to share, and sometimes I know you can always bring it around. So wait, tell us some more though, because this is a radio show.
Well, for the last month and a half, and principally the month of January has been a, January and December, I usually hibernate. I don't get on the computer. I don't barely get on the phone. It's just me, and I'm home, or I'm wandering somewhere, or I'm on a trip. This year, I stayed at home. I didn't go anywhere. And I did go outside a lot. In fact, during all the snowstorms, every day, I was outside in the morning for an hour or so, or in the evening for an hour or so, enjoying the cold so I could meditate and listen. But it was a challenge for me because I made a decision that I need to pick myself apart because I had to rebuild. I had to look at things closely after Mommy died and the other funerals I went to and other things. So I found myself trying to go through a process of cleansing, and I couldn't. I realized that I was wrestling through some really dark emotions, and I was vacillating between, and I was wrestling with a question about my significance and my insignificance. And then for a very brief time, I wrestled with my darkness for a couple of days, and I found myself doing something completely out of character. And I found myself snapping at my wife, and I went, "Whoa, we barely argue." And I said, "Okay, something." And I had to go away, which meant like on the other side of the sofa, and I had to sit and I pondered. And I said, "Oh, I know what's happening," and because type of man that I am and the things that I've done, I had long ago had to come to a place where I had to make a covenant with my death. And I don't ascribe to the notion that you have to cast out your personal demons, and it's a matter of relationship. And in a proper relationship, everything comes to the forefront at its appropriate time. So I found January, there was a period when my darkness started coming out, and I had to, I was beat up by it, then I had to stop and had to recognize exactly what was happening, and then I had to go through my process to alter my perspective. Once my perspective was altered, everything went back mm-hmm. to its proper place. The dark shadow, the devourer, went back into that room. I keep him in a closet, and I shut the door, but I never lock it. And the only thing that keeps the door shut is the light that I exude. But I was limited in the amount of contact I had with people during this time, and I wasn't returning phone calls, and just hibernate. That's what winter is for, and I was deeply grateful for the snow because it was able to bury things. And that basically what the last month and a half was for me. And then on top of that, we had serious questions dealing with my father's health and making sure that his assets and his estate is sound, because Daddy's in a diminished capacity with dementia. He's not in a place where we're pulling our teeth out, because the diet that we have given him is working for his benefit. We have not put him on any medication because the doctors have not created anything that will do any good for a person with dementia. It's just dementia and Alzheimer's is basically hardening of the arteries, and the way the heart is, it's up in the brain. You have to feed the glucose level in the brain with complex carbohydrates. And you also, outside of the body, have to create an atmosphere in which the higher entities are always surrounding that person. You have to balance the world around your loved ones. They don't tell you any of this. They don't tell you this stuff in the medical profession. So my brothers and I, this is where we are. So that's where I was. And of course, the good cigars. I had about 4 good cigars during that month. Mm-hmm. That provided me solace, and that's it.
That's it in a nutshell. I want to ask
that's more like more inside of a watermelon.
I know that's not, and it's full of seeds, of transformation. And I want to break into that watermelon because I love watermelon. So
me
I love watermelon. That's right. Talking about activating the love matrix. Now let's talk about that darkness thing that you talked about, because you know I'm sure most of the listeners can understand that. They can understand times when they're in that dark place. Sometimes some of us try and run from it. Run away from it, different things to avoid being in contact or facing the darkness. But let's talk about men. You talked about you recognized what was happening and you had to go away. Can you tell us what you did or how you got yourself back to zero, to the middle, to a place of balance? What practical things did you do that you can share with the listeners so that the men that are listening can kind of apply that in times when they find themselves being hijacked by the darkness and they end up projecting on somebody else?
Well, I have it down to science. I can do it in a very short time, but it wasn't always that way. I mean, I went through full Broadway productions. I would show out. I even, my darkness got to the place where I would play Russian roulette with my life in a car, trying to race down a hill at a high rate of speed and rush to the stop sign, hoping and chancing that another car would hit me on the side. And all the time I'm doing, I'm talking to my darkness, it was really talking to me. And then when I get to the stop sign, involuntarily my foot would slam on the brake and I would start all over again. And I remember doing that for months. My body would kick in and it would stop, slam on the brakes, and I would get mad. And then one day I broke through and I did it at top neck speed and I just let go. And then no car came by and I went, oh, damn, man. It was anticlimactic. And then it struck me. You've been spared. And I felt like I had gone through a portal. And then I began to question the validity of playing with death like that. And all the things I had gone through with life and death, starting with the birth of my children, watching the mothers of my children, and when I was caring for them and nurturing, that whole nurturing process, and when the birth came, and I watched death stand next to each one of their bodies while they were giving birth. And no one told me that this is what happened when a woman gives birth, and as a man, as a father, that blew me out the water. The first time it happened, the nurses and doctors were trying to act like Renee was, she's going to be okay, but I looked in the ceiling, and I saw her death floating. I knew it was going, and Renee was getting ready to die while she's giving birth. And I calmed down, and I breathed, because the only thing I had control over was the moment. When I had that moment, I focused, and then because I was told everything's going to be all right. And I was responsible for centering myself, and I only did it through breath, because the only thing I had in all of time and all of the expanse of the earth was that one moment and that one place where my feet were standing. And as soon as I did that, not as soon, but not long after I did that, there was like a whirlwind. I could see it, but no one could feel it. And then, poof, they said, Mr. Woods, come. And I went in there in my scrubs. But she had, in one sense, she had started it, because at the time when we had our first, they did not allow men, fathers, into the room with the birth. And Renee got angry because she didn't know that, and she looked up at them, and Renee's bloodline comes from Nigeria from the 1800s, and she looked at him. She said, you will either let Gregory come into the room or I will shut my womb down. They went, what? You can't. And then she shut her, she did something, and they checked her, and she completely closed her womb, and they said, get that man in scrubs, and she opened it back up again. I was astounded, But this moment, this is one of the moments when I was, I'm answering your question. This is one of the moments. So that was a jumping off point for me, because I did not know that death wrestled with a woman giving birth to a child. And I watched her twice almost die, and our third child almost won the battle, taking her mother's life force from her.
Mm.
And then balance was restored. I watched him. And so I picture me as a young man, scrubbing fuzzy stuff on my face, and I was 135 pounds, 6 feet 3 inches tall, and wearing sandals all the time. And I had, I was walking around in and out of the woods. I was going to church. I was going to work. And I was puzzling over this. And so I watched the dynamics in the woods. This same dynamic was happening in the woods, happened with leaves. And when the white men would come in, they would start tearing portions of the forest down. Animals would flee, and there would be these enormous battles for survival. Animals were fighting each other for space because there was suddenly a violation of boundaries that had been set for generations and generations. And then the spirit of the forest, wherever I would go, would say, "You can't come in here." And I didn't know why. One day I violated it and almost stepped on a short, wild-eyed raccoon in the dark. He almost tore my leg off, and I had backed up and apologized, and my apology stopped him from tearing up my leg and run up my body. So from that point, I began to think about it. What did other men do? And it all boiled down to wrestling with this and being very honest with exactly how you felt. And so I had to rid myself of whatever preconceived notion of a man was, whatever people expected me to be, I had to let that go, because that didn't matter.
Yes.
Every man, when he's given a child by the woman that he laid down with and he loves, that act alone is saying that you are disregarding what other people think of you, and you're going to be just dealing with just who you are.
Mm-hmm.
The woman requires it. The baby requires it. And then when you are taking care of them, every challenge that rises up against you, every force comes up against you, is requiring you to be yourself. And so it was really a struggle of identity until you decide, this is who I am, and this is what I will put up with, and this is what I not put up with. So when my demons start coming out, this was my attitude. But I also have to admit that fear and terror was a part of it, because sometimes I was so scared I couldn't pee in my pants. I was so scared.
Forget being your pants. You couldn't if you tried. Everything locked up. You froze.
Everything locked up. So it's a long thing to answer. And the story we just heard about the brother across the street from the church got me, because it's the same story of dealing with it. You stand there wrestling with it. You're in a new place of consciousness. And some cat walks up to you who's down there with a low, jacked-up energy level. And he said, "I want you to give me a dollar, but I'm not going to cross the street to get a job." And you have to, I would have to wrestle with, when I was younger, I had to wrestle with arrogance. And so, but it's the same story, wrestling with your darkness, because when you move into another consciousness, you already have an established pattern or way of dealing with the other side of yourself. And so now it's a different standard. It seemed that you're judged by the standard in which you keep yourself balanced between that which does not work and that which does work. And it gets a little easier, and then has moments like I had this last month, where it's really hard, and you have to learn how to build relationships with other people to help you stay in balance. Because one of the faults of men is to try to fight all their battles alone.
Right.
And I learned that quickly when I went in child support court, and an advocate heard my story, and he said, "I'm gonna work with you." And he said, he told me and other men, he said, "The first thing you need to understand is that you are," and then he said, "F-U-C-K." And the second thing mm-hmm. he said, you're all going to make the mistake that every man makes and try to fight your battles alone. And the reason that that this legislation has been pushed through by women is because they work as groups. They console as groups. So one of the challenges of men is to move out of the thinking that they need to resolve everything by themselves. You try to do that, that's the same thing as walking into insanity. You can't do it. You have to learn how to develop relationships and become vulnerable to other men and other women who will help you and get rid of all the toxic, no good, rusty butt Negroes and dumb as sheetrock other people as you can until you're clear of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ashande, we were supposed to go to 2 o'clock, but I think Don Wolf just wrapped up the show.
No, we didn't. Oh, well, that brother but, down there in Atlanta, in the ATL.
Don Wolf, I mean, Don Wolf is just dropping it. Now, Don Wolf, what I heard in your story, in bringing yourself, acknowledging the darkness, I heard you coming back to breath. To remember in the breath of life, you talked about nature, you know, learning from nature, to know that we are part of nature, and it will just with trying us when we become more aware of its power, if you will, or its consciousness. You talked about mindfulness, really becoming so clear, being in this moment and being able to ask yourself, what's going on here? I know you're very present. And the other thing that I heard, which I think is very important, is community. You know, community, having other people. And Celeste was asking me yesterday. She said, "What's it like to be a man?" And I'm kind of like, I've always been a man. I kind of thought, well, you know. It said, I guess, same thing as being a woman, but I didn't necessarily mean that it's the same feeling, the same experience. But when I was answering the question, one of the things that I see is men, it looks like men are not allowed to really be themselves. There's a, and if we just talk about America, but I think it's general, but America has a unique story, like other countries, but let's just focus on America right now. America has a unique story, and men are expected to be larger than life, not show their emotions, not be vulnerable, as you said, not ask for help, being able to stand on their own 2 feet and just be able to conquer the world and come out looking like nothing happened. And, you know, just like, yeah, I can handle that. Homie, don't play that. You know, I can handle whatever comes my way. And it's leaving a lot of people, a lot of men in a place where they end up taking that frustration and the anger out of their loved ones. And so, you know, the things that you said just brought up so much for me. And I want, before we go further, I really want to come to Ashande to talk about darkness, how you move through it. How you deal with it, or maybe when darkness is coming at you. I mean, you've shared stories of family members who are part of a gang and what you have to do to kind of check yourself. How do you deal with that darkness? How do you deal with that place where you feel hijacked by your ego, your mind, negative thoughts, whatever you want to call it, and, you know, bring yourself to a place of balance, Ashande?
Well, the first thing, I have to come into the awareness. And so I have to first become still with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I learned, I had a dark past myself, and I played in the darkness. And for a long time, I embraced it.
Tell us about this dark thing that you're talking about, because we need to see it. What is it?
We're talking about just the kind of living in the total passion, the appetite, the lust, the emotion, and just being totally connected to that and allowing that to serve you.
Mm.
And however that may show up, a lot of women, why women in song, just, you know, fighting, you know, that kind of stuff. Just aggressive life. And so, but still balancing that in this kind of metaphysical aspect, because I was always a student of the metaphysics. But there was a power in the darkness. So there's a power in unleashing emotion and lust and all of that. And so it feeds the ego. And I was loving the way that felt. It's a high. So I thought, oh, wow. And then I had this epiphany, this epiphic experience, and I just saw I was serving two masters. Mm. And it was eating me up. And so
what were the two masters? What were the two masters you were serving?
That big ego and that little ego.
Okay.
Or the higher self and the lower self. And so I had to realize there was no self-fulfillment. It was more and more craving, you know, on to the next conquest, on to the, so how is that going to end up, you know? How is that going to end up for me, you know? And everyone was happy. So it wasn't like, so it could have went on for a long time. Nobody was, it was only me that wasn't happy, but everyone else seemed quite happy. So sometimes, you know, we have those setbacks, those slip-ups, and that little ego pops up. But now I've learned to accept that, and what I said to myself is I surrender to that darkness, because in that it's I call it the dark matter of the soul, and so in that is this kind of chaotic energy that allow one to maneuver through life, you know, to give you that intuition into dangerous times or dangerous circumstances, or how to just, you know, handle situations that could result in, you know, dire consequences. So, and so that's what I have, and also tapping into my ancestors, you know, because a lot of that is a resurgence of, as I went into my thing, I seen that it was some of their untapped energy as well, you know, that
right.
things that they hadn't transmitted here, you know. But they also were holding me in light, because there were situations that I know there were people with me. So I've had those dark wolf moments too. And I was like, you tell them the story, I'm like, oh my God, that's so awesome. Because that one mind, that one shared space, you know, wow.
Right.
It's awesome.
Right.
It's awesome. And that's what's happening for me now, to see, to hear the stories that are so common. And I'm like, wow, that's what's needed. Because you got people having these things, like the thing that I couldn't share the story. Oh, people would think I'm crazy. Or he did. Oh, nigga, you crazy. What you talking about?
Right.
You know, mystical experience. Mystical what?
You smelled a bad joint.
You're talking to the animals, you know, and communing with spirit. And, hey, are you out of your mind? What? Oh, man, I'm going over here to get high. I'm going over here to do this. I'm going to the party. And so, so just to have that common link, you know, it's awesome.
Yes, the power of shared stories. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to continue the conversation with Ashende Ambong and Don Wolf, a.k.a. Gregory E. Woods. We have the brothers today. We are sharing. We're having a conversation, masculine viewpoint on love, relationship, and life. how we see it, how we navigate it, and create a space for men to tap into their own unique power, creating a space for females to let go a little bit more, to not feel you have to always be in control. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we need each other, and everybody has to tend to their own garden. So together we can come together and create a beautiful harvest. But it's an inside job, but you can't do it without community. It's important. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Ashende and Don Wolf. When we come back, well, we're going to take a break and then come back with Celestial Moment. And when we come back, I want us to talk a little. I want to ask you your thoughts. The role of men in eradicating domestic violence, because we're talking about darkness. And, you know, and I was saying earlier that there are men who don't get to share their story or feel safe enough to share their darkness, their pain, the demons within them, but it ends up getting projected or taken out of loved ones. And so I want to hear your thoughts about the role of men in eradicating domestic violence. It is time to bring on Celeste for some announcements, and then the, Celestial Moment. I knew that. Hey, Celeste, welcome back.
Wow, I am loving these stories. Really powerful. And I'm sure our listening audience in the chat room and on the phone lines are also enjoying the dynamic conversation with our brothers, Ashindi and Don Wolf. Welcome home, and I look forward to you guys coming back next month. So in the meantime, it's also my pleasure to share with you what's coming up this week on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Tomorrow, Monique Ruffin will be in the house. She is an author, activist, life coach, mother, and serves as a personal ambassador to health and wholeness. She has dedicated her life to living and teaching that we will change the world with a spiritual approach to all of life's experiences. And you will shift too when you tune into her personal story. She'll be having a sacred conversation with Life Coach Ade, exploring taking responsibility for your health, wealth, and well-being. So make sure you're there. Then on Wednesday, Life Coach Ade is flying solo as your spiritual tour guide to tell you exactly what it means to activate the love matrix. Are you ready to press the apply button? I know you are. Make sure you don't miss these powerful shows, because when you tune in, you get to be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Mark Hudson, founder of 12radio.com. And I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
For more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. That's radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Real Love is a party, a spiritual event. Love lessons for singles and couples at Hillside International Truth Center, Friday, February 7th, beginning at 7 p.m. with Dr. Barbara King, Dr. Aldewan Tart, and Dr. Janet Page. Plus, a mix and mingle party at Atlanta Airport Marriott Hotel till 2 a.m. featuring Teresa Hightower and Leonard Julian with the Mose Davis Trio and Joey Somerville. Get tickets and more at hillsideinternational.org/real love.
Did you know that color therapy has been used for thousands of years? But many of us don't realize that we've actually been practicing some form of color therapy our entire lives. We choose the colors we wear, the colors we eat, our furnishings, and wall colors. And whether you're selecting a color for your next car or toothbrush, all of your color choices are meant to make you feel better. I'm Elaine Marie, the director of Aura House School of Color and Light, and the founder of Color Therapy Month. This March, please join me in celebrating the healing power of color. For ideas on how you can participate in this worldwide event, visit our website at colortherapymonth.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Yes, we are back. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio show. The number is 347-426-3346-347. 426-3346. We are talking with the brothers, Masculine View, Masculinity, Masculine Viewpoint on love, relationships, and life. We're talking from darkness to domestic violence to love to where I'm sure we got time. We'll talk about Black History Month, how you see it, what has changed. We're taking your questions, 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And now it's time for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan.
Yes, I'm so ready to share my energy of the day. And I want to thank you guys again, you two Life Coach today, for having a platform to have this type of conversation. So let me get to it so we can continue. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that's showing up in our life right now. The energy of the day is 3, and if it happens to be your birthday today, then it's your lesson number for the whole year. 3 is the number of creativity. It demonstrates love through creative imagination, comprehension, and fulfillment. In the medicine cards, 3 represents the elk, and it has the gift of stamina, and it's also the Empress card in tarot. Now today, for a treat, we're going to put the spotlight on how 3 is reflected in the world of tarot. We're going to play with the world card today. Its number is not 3, it's actually 21, but when you add 2 plus 1, you get 3. So here we go. The world is the completion of your spiritual journey in tarot. As you walk the developmental stages from 0 full to the 21 world, you have acquired all the tools you need for expansion in your life. It's the end of the hero's journey, a time of celebration. Whether reversed or upright, the world acknowledges that you have walked your own private initiation. And guess what? The ending is really a new beginning. It's not a time to become stagnant or feel that there is no more to learn. Consciousness will always open you up for infinite possibilities. So reflect deeply on the garden of experiences called your life. Bittersweet delights, trials, successes, challenges, and disappointments. They are all needed for all the phases of your life. You become a true hero when you allow it all in. So fill the power of the world and find the home of your divine soul. All is well. And that's the story of three. So through the world card and tarot, I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you for giving us the spiritual weather report.
My pleasure.
Life is good. It's getting better. And the music you hear in the background is Destiny Muhammad. And the title of that song is Grace. To find out more about Destiny, her website address is destinymuhammad.com. It's not complicated. It's that simple. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. My guests are Ashande Amung. He's a father, a husband, a truth practitioner, a spiritual activist. And we have Don Wolf, a.k.a. Gregory E. Woods, a musician, a writer, social activist, and a keeper of stories. We are sitting around a fireplace and sharing and growing together. If you have questions, comments, thoughts, doubts, worries, disagreement, whatever it is, bring it. This is the House of Love. We are here to support you on your transformation journey. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And when you do call it, make sure you press 1 on your keypad and we'll be happy to come to you. We do have some emailed questions, but before we do that, I want to talk about what I asked the brothers. Ashande, welcome back. And, and Don Wolf. Where's Don Wolf? Right here. Don Wolf. Yeah, there you are. Okay, so the question I asked you, and let me go to you, Don Wolf, first. What is the role of men? What role do we play in eradicating domestic violence?
I think the responsibility of men who are the elders are to teach the boys how to be men, and then at every level down to the mysterious parts about being a man, and it should be a process that begins when they're very young, up into their teenagers, and the boys should be initiated into manhood. And their initiations and their teachings should be done man to boy, and it also should have the times in which there's a woman who's doing the tutelage, particularly when the boys get older, because they always have their mothers. And I think the process during the initiation to pull them not only into the mysteries of being a man, but let an elder woman creatively take a boy through the initiatory process into manhood. And should domestic violence rise up then, it's dealt with very different because you're not dealing with a crude element. And the common thing that men have who abuse their women is that they're crude. It's the crude elements. Mm-hmm. And what I put out is not new. It's an old way of doing things. And then, so if it does arise for whatever reason, it's dealt with very different because the elders know what was taken out of that young man who just put his hands on a woman.
So what about those who don't have elders to walk them down the path, or maybe they're in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, or maybe they end up in jail because they didn't get to get in touch with their mysterious part about being a man? How do we go about teaching them a different way to be and to be able to face their crudeness?
What I gave was the ideal, and in answer to your question, I can only draw on what I've been involved in, and just meet the men exactly where they are. And whether they are at the place where they can accept it or not is not important. What's important is, and for me, what has been important when I've been in those situations is to, from the beginning, I have to let them feel the essence of my manhood. And I learned very quickly that they also have to learn what the feeling of a father who loves. And a brief example, I was in a junior high school. I had my circle and these boys in there, and the coach of the school wouldn't let any of his players get on the team unless they sat in my circles throughout the school year. So I had a very engaged group of boys in the 7th and 8th grade. And there was a one kid who, something about him caught my eye. So I'm always, every time, every circle, every day I do it, I go to each boy every night and I shake their hands and I make it an experience in which it's just me and them. Something always transpires. That's how men shake hands. And this kid, I walked over to him. He came late, if I remember correctly. And I said, stand up. And as he stood up, I extended my hand and we shaking hands. And I got close to him. And I said, have you ever been in the presence of a man who will protect you from everything that would harm you? And the boy began to tremble with fear. And he tried to pull away, but I was stronger. I didn't move. I wasn't aggressive. I was just resolute. And I asked him again. And the boys in the circle saw his fear. And different ones of them saying, it's okay, it's Baba. That didn't help. The boy was scared. He said, Baba Gray, it's going to work. He's good. He's there. Whatever they were saying, they were encouraging him. He was terrified. He could barely hear them. And I asked him again, and he, with a weak voice, said no. And I said, I'm such a man, and this is your first time. I let go.
Mm.
That boy was, he was changed. I saw it, just that. I bring that story out because you have to start wherever it is. It doesn't matter whether the kid or the boy asked for it. It has to come out of your soul. And they often don't know what they need until something transpires that says, well, wait a minute. There's something I'm missing. How did he do that? What happened? What happened when I shook his hand? Then you just have to be ready to create or help them or to just simply create a path for them to go to what the ideal is. It's not easy. It's very difficult, especially if you have a transient population coming to you, coming, going, coming, going, coming, going. You have to just sit in who you are and be that person. And until you can get into a formal situation where you can go through the process. So right, the way we have things now, it seems that every chance encounter can be turned into something that will inform the higher aspect of a crude man. Even if you just give him a look, which I've done before, I've seen men on the street get ready to stand up against a woman. They didn't even know the woman. They just said, well, she's weak, I'm going to take her out. I've had 1, 2, 3, 4 confrontations, and I was going to kill the man or cripple him. Gave him a choice. I told him, I said, you know, with my right hand, I can take your life and put you in the hospital. And I said, with my left hand, I said, I can give you a teaching or a story that would change your life, but the choice is yours. And whatever he chose is exactly what I was going to give him. So this was a grown man. So those are two extremes. Whatever we give, we can only give it according to our capacity. I'm one type of man. You're another. We're all different types of men. But at our core, that's what speaks to another man. It's our core. You dig what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, I truly. So true. So true. Yes. Ashanti, your thoughts. What role? What's the role of men in eradicating domestic violence? Ashanti, are you there?
Sorry, I had the phone on mute. Yeah, wisdom first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I, in my whole life, have only seen the domestic violence twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've lived, you know, in some pretty harsh spots. But I've only seen it twice. And each time, well, in the first time I've seen, my mom tried to help the lady, and she said, no, I'm all right. And then when I was, you know, a man myself, I went down and tried to help the lady. This is back in my old time frame. And so I went down with a gun. So, and the lady was like, she defended the guy. And I was like, wow, okay. But that's a whole nother conversation. That's a whole nother conversation. But the thing about that is that comes from something deep within people. And so, you know, I remember a relationship, you know, I had with someone, and I can't really go into the specifics of it, but, you know, this person, I had this relationship with them, a woman, and they were the type that, for whatever reason, that was their thing, you know, to provoke a man into putting hands on him.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. Now at this time, I'm at another place, so I'm just like, oh my God, you know, what am I, you know, how am I going to handle this? I'm in this for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it got horrendous, you know. Cops were called, and each time, you know, my light shone, you know, and these guys were coming to kill me. I mean, you know, kill me.
Were you saying in that relationship, the woman, you said she, her thing was to have a man put his hand on her. So there were times when you and her got into a fight, is what you're saying?
Yeah, she would try to make me fight her.
Okay.
And so I would.
Okay.
And so what I would do is, you know, I would throw her out of my house. Just pick her up.
Okay.
She was a minute big, you know. She was about, 100 pounds. I'd pick her up, set her outside, pick up the door. And she's kicking and screaming, you know, and making a scene and calling the cops, you know. And so these guys come and they're expecting, you know, as Brother Don Wolf says, some crude man. And so they come and see some totally off the kilter. And they're like, whoa. And this is one thing I was always adamant. I was like, I'm not letting you put handcuffs on me.
So that, let me ask you this. I'm going to jump to a question.
Yes.
So did you have to go through in order to heal that? Oh, am I still, if I am, let me do this if that's the case, because
I do not
want to break up. Now we've got echo.
Okay. So my question is, what process did you have to go through in order to deal with that experience of being in a relationship with somebody who wanted you to put your hands on her, and who knows, I don't know if that was a way.
I had to anchor, and I had to anchor myself into that deep place.
Mm-hmm.
I had to surrender all of that egoic gunk.
Because this was at a time when you talked about the old self. This is a time when you started to go to guidance and you're really now learning more about who you are.
Yes. So I had to just release it and let it go, and then eventually it just shifted. It just shifted, you know. It couldn't happen anymore, and so it dissipated into nothing, you know. So, and that's what I, you know, as far as in one going through something like that, but as far as in what men can do, it's definitely wisdom, insight. It definitely has to come from the sacred woman. I mean, I was always instilled with a kind of deep wisdom from my my tribe of women that God bestowed upon me in my own life, you know, that were giants, you know, just giants, I mean. And, you know, and some of these women I seen, you know, put men in their place, you know, my mom being one of them. So, I mean, in a hot second, you know. And she was a beautiful woman, and so men would approach her and get out of line sometimes, you know. But most of the times they didn't, just because of the way her energy was, you know. But if one stepped into the Thunderdome, you know, they got caught up, you know. But yeah, so it's so many facets of that have to be addressed to make a whole person, you know,
It wasn't your experience, more of the self-awareness, the spiritual awareness helped you, you know, bring balance to it and know to choose.
Oh, for sure. And also just those life wisdoms, you know, from mom. Don't let no chick get your ass tricked up in the jail, you know. Because there's some women out here that want to see a good-looking man, intelligent man locked up just because. And so you get that kind of advice, and it comes to you. You know, is this kind of situation? You know,
it's not a one-time thing. It's a conversation. I mean, violence is part of humanity. Enforced in so many ways, through games, through war, through it's just everywhere. And we all got to do our work individually. Let's take a call. Let's go to Sabrina from New York. Hello, Sabrina. How are you doing? Good. What's your question, Lucan?
Why do most men, any black men, why do they not want to go to counseling? And is it fair that women say, you know, if you don't go to counseling with me, then this relationship is over?
Okay. That's a very good question. Hold on. Don't go anywhere, Sabrina. Keep listening, but don't go anywhere. Actually, I'm going to mute you, but stay there, okay? Because I want to come back to you. Don Wolf, why are men reluctant to go to counseling, especially black men?
She said two things, and one reason that black men won't go to counseling is because that model is a European construct, and whether black man I know has said it in different ways, but that construct is very threatening. It's intimidating. It's bad enough if you've got problems with you got a boss, white guy on top of you. You have a different strategy approach with the police and banks, a different thing. You have to, like, even now, I get better treatment if I wear a suit when I go into the bank that I don't know the people. If you have to deal with issues with incarceration. And then if a woman asks you to go in your marriage or relationship, asks you to go to a counselor, here is another authority that's going to be over me, and something wild comes out of me. And I know this intimately because in my 20s and 30s, I bristled. The worst thing a woman can do is give a man an ultimatum. And if it's a man like me, you give me an ultimatum, it's the same as putting a rat in a corner. I'm not going to do what you said. And the only way that I got into marital counseling in my first marriage was because a woman in the church created the program for it, and she wanted me to be in her first group. I resisted for every reason. I'm not doing it. I got the ultimatum. You're not giving me an ultimatum for my wife, first wife, but Sister Massey did something that men that caught my eye, and a lot of men catch your eye. She listened to all of my objections, and then she said, she came to the equivalent of, let's make a deal. And then she had my ear, because we were negotiating. She didn't take anything from me. She was negotiating. And then in that exchange, yay, no, I said yes. I said yes because she understood that I was not a woman. She understood that I was a man, and these were my concerns. And when she heard them, and she said, what outcome do you want? And when I told her, that was agreeable. Everything else, from what my experience is aggressive. And if you want to fight a man to fight, come at him aggressively. He'll fight you.
Mm-hmm. There's two parts. I mean, I don't know if when I got, but I do understand what you're saying. The European construct. I dig this up. I won't even go down that line because I want to hear Ashande's response and then go to Sabrina. Ashande, what are your thoughts?
Well, I would. First of all, it depends on what was they talking about counseling, mm-hmm. because. I agree with Don Wolf, and it's an interesting story. My mentor, I have a degree in psychology, so he was telling me, he goes, and you know, I'm young in the studies, and so I was loving all this European gunk, which is kind of, it's cool for its purpose. But he said, you know, in the end of all of this, you're going to find out it's all within you, and you'll get there through prayer and meditation. Mm-hmm. It just didn't set well with me. So fast-forwarding to the question, is this in a modality of prayer and meditation as counseling? Then that is something to approach. You know, maybe that would be something most Black men would consider, but going before a kind of cognitive therapy session where a guy's trying to get you to blame your mom or a woman's making you, you know, or try to get you to disassociate yourself from yourself, and you are not, that's not your thing, you're not used to that, then you're going to meet resistance. Because it's right. Kind of like the last show we just had talking about transparency. So we already know that is something that is in our community of being transparent is something we are resistant to. So here you are going to take it to a stranger. That's going to be
right,
a rough
right.
And then you throw an ultimatum. Ah. Right. That's like throwing firecrackers in the, you know, into gasoline, you know. You just, it's waiting for a big explosion. So,
right.
Yeah.
Let me go back to Sabrina because, I get the question. Sabrina, I'm coming back to you. I get the question, but I'm more concerned about where the question is coming from. So, Sabrina, so far what you've heard, do you have a new insight about your question first before I go to the next thing?
No, you answered it. I mean, pretty much I asked this because I wonder, you know, does your man rather you be the person that he can trust and confide in and talk to on that level? And it's not about, like me personally, I don't need to know everything. I just need to know that you can trust me with how you feel. Or what's going on with you, even if you're upset at work or your boss pissed you off, even something as simple as that, you know. And I was just thinking about this because I've heard brothers talk and say how relationships ended because he wouldn't marry this woman, or relationships ended because of counseling. And a lot of these men are just torn apart. And it hurts them for years down the line that they don't even have relationships anymore or commit anymore. So that's why I'm asking from the perspective of a brother, you know, what's really going on with the man when it comes to those things.
Right. And, you know, and just to add to it, it's that
sometimes when couples go for counseling and the relationship ends, that's a good thing, because some people have gotten together based on the societal construct or what they think they should do. People get together and compromise themselves. They compromise their dreams, their happiness, their wealth, their well-being. And in counseling, you get to realize this is not really what I want. We talked about domestic abuse, that sometimes people are in a relationship, they are not happy, and they blame their spouse for their unhappiness rather than confront themselves. Now, and what Don Wolf said and what Shani said about counseling. Now, men generally, we're not necessarily known to really share in our emotions. We, you know, it's kind of, you know, people would say, I've heard females say, I want a man who, you know, who is loving and caring and sensitive and, you know, someone who doesn't mind sharing his heart. But then again, if you ask a woman, how do you feel about a man that cries? It's all right, but I don't want no mama boy. I don't want no sissy. You know, so we all have this belief that we have about what somebody needs to be for us in relationships, that when we come together in a union, all of it is facing us in the face. It takes courage to open yourself up. You know, we're talking about men have issues going counseling and opening up. And then you're talking about African-American men. That's like a whole different conversation. There's trust there. There's lack of trust there. There's, you know, Don Wolf was talking about, feeling like you can't tell me about my life. I know more about my life. But for me, it boils down to it takes courage to want to heal. It takes courage to want to be better. And I always say when I'm working with people in their relationship and their partner doesn't want to go for counseling or coaching, it's like you do your work. Well, it'd be better if he comes. Usually that's the case. It'd be better if he goes. Yes, it would be, but he's saying no. And if someone is saying they can't go, there's really not much you can do. Don Wolf was saying earlier, you've got to just meet people where they are. And but I think we also need to not forget the men that do go for counseling, the men that are open into prayer and meditation, the men that are open to being in a community, a retreat, and really sharing their pain, their hurt. There's some men who are so shut down because of their experience in the past that to even try and open up will take them out. So, you know, that's kind of how I see it. Does our feedback give you some kind of enlightenment? Does it bring you some kind of peace or whatever?
No, it answers my question. It's just like as you're talking, I'm thinking about someone I used to be friends with. She stressed marriage so much. She got married, she had the kids, she did all in order, and the marriage didn't last. And I remember her saying that the husband said to her, you forced me into marriage. And I remember prior to the marriage, she would always say, I want my ring. That was always her quote, I want my ring. And the marriage just completely fell apart. You know, I mean, I'm not being negative. I'm just speaking from what I analyzed. The marriage completely fell apart. And, you know, you reap what you sow, some things she did herself that created a lot of the stuff that she did too. At the same time, she still was looking to be in a relationship after the marriage, you know, and wasn't completely out of the marriage. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm just saying, like, I just think about these ultimatums and stuff and things that people lay down on people, you know, for them to be in a relationship with them, you know?
Right. Your friend said, I want my ring. She got her ring. She got what she asked for.
Right.
You know, so really it was a successful relationship. She got what she wanted. And that's the thing. That's why counseling, coaching, prayer, meditation, we all have to examine ourselves because we have beliefs that's not even our own, but we live it out. And when you come together in a relationship, in a marriage, and romantic relationship, it shows up big time. So, yeah, that's part of it. There's more. But I think we all need to be clear about what we're asking, why we want what we say we want, and if what we say we want is coming from our heart or is it based on what we were told to do. So, yeah. Sabrina, thank you very much. I appreciate you. Thank you for throwing that equation into the mix, and I trust that that helps and others who are listening as well. Let's go to Sankofa Infinity, a.k.a. Soul Communicator. And before you ask the question, Sankofa, Soul Communicator, I say yes to your wonderful idea.
So, go ahead.
Thank you.
Let's do a show where we have a group of sisters coming together sharing their concerns. Indeed, it's done.
Great, great. Thank you. Namaste, my brothers. Namaste.
Namaste.
Once again, I had to build a pyramid based on this whole discussion. I thank Sabrina for coming in and capping it off because, you know, yeah, we are the creators of our reality. However, we do not control the components that are within that reality. We don't control the components. So going back to what the brother stated about committed practice to love, stay committed to love. That's your reality. But you don't control the components in the reality that you create. So going to domestic violence, we can't eradicate it. It's there for a reason. It's there for the elevation of consciousness. It's there for us to come together as sisters and brothers to have a conversation such as this. But the thing is, we have to reintroduce the woman back into the story because the woman has been taken out of the story. We have been completely taken out of the pinnacle of the pyramid. Men don't go to counseling because they are afraid of themselves. They are afraid to come out from among themselves. And that's the problem. Men don't want to submit. They don't want to submit. They don't want to submit to the woman. They don't want to submit to the woman as the goddess, the queen, the woman who gives birth to the king and the queen. They don't want to submit to that. But, you know, I give you your prompts. You want to make excuses and justify your behavior. There is no justification. There is no justification. We have to reintroduce the woman back into the story. She has to go back into the story. Now, from a European perspective, okay, let them do what they got to do. Hey, that's their reality. But in my reality, at the end of the day, the woman is reintroduced into my story. And that's the only way that I can stand as a queen, a woman of power, and a woman as a goddess. That's the only way. I have to reintroduce myself back into your story. And here I am. Mm-hmm. So, my brother, it's time to come out from among yourself. Stop thinking that you are all this because you're not. Without the woman, we are the ones that came and gave birth to you so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. And you turn around and you want to smite and justify using European modality? It's time out for that. And that's what the ancestors say today.
Let me ask you this question real quick because we've got another. So what I'm hearing you say is, are you talking about a coming together or a bowing down?
No, a coming together, cooperation. I'm always talking about cooperation because I don't need
listen, trust me. It's for you that I ask the question because some people can hear that as you're talking about she's talking in their makeup, whatever. I know, but this is going to let people know what you're saying because you've got to make it clear. I'm with you. I understand.
Right.
So, yeah, that was for you. I'm trying to help a sister out.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, darling. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Yes, we must come together, remember that we need each other and the feminine and masculine energies in all of us, and we've got to learn to embrace and love the woman and the feminine energy and not take it for granted rather than just being an object of, you know the other picture. It's so much more to that. And until we learn to be with the woman, we can't really be a true man, a real man for our own self. We won't feel complete. Now, we have a brother who is complete. And what's going on, my brother from Atlanta? I'm trying to surprise Ashande. Ron, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to voice my opinion. I am the older brother of Ashende. Mm-hmm. And
okay.
That's okay. They stopped on hit the fan. Okay.
I'm Oshinde's eldest brother, by the way. I'm 46 years of age, and in my early 20s, I had been a domestic abuser. And I'd like to say that this wasn't something that was embedded in me. This was a learned behavior, okay, which I truly believe was part of genetics. You know, my father was an abusive man, and it was the way that I kind of, you know, saw my father with his past relationships, whether it had been my mother or any other woman that he had been with. And it was a learned behavior. And I kind of fell into the cycle of domestic abuse. And fortunately, I was mandated to join a counseling session, which was extremely helpful for me. The sister said, you know, why don't most black men want to go to counseling? Well, I was reluctant to go to counseling, but it was mandated by the courts that I join this men's education against nonviolence, which is a very profound kind of a six-month mandated court scenario that I had to attend 3 days out of the week in order to stay from being incarcerated. But I'd just like to say that it was very profound. It was extremely helpful for me, and it kind of showed me the ways of equality in a relationship. And, you know, I'd like to encourage anyone who may be suffering from this genetically passed situation to venture off and possibly join this sort of a program, because I found it to be very, very helpful. And some men may be reluctant, but once they've joined this and really truly find out what anger is and domestic violence and where it stems from, kind of find that peace within, I mean, it was extremely helpful for me. And just kind of wanted to comment that there may be some reluctancies there, but once you get there and learn some of the ways and learn about equality, it's a very, very rewarding experience.
Yes.
So don't want to take up too much of the time. I just wanted to make that comment that, you know, I'm a reformed individual, and that was 20-something odd years ago. And, you know, I am truly a believer in equality today.
You know, but as we move forward, maybe if your time permits later on, we can bring you on again to kind of go a little bit more in detail so you can share the story from beginning and what you learned, your resistance, what you learned about yourself, and maybe some of the things that you know men are afraid of that you can support people on. So, you know, we'll definitely reach out to you, and if you're available, we'll be happy to have you back to talk a bit more in details about that, because sometimes we need other men to speak on things that we go on, that we're dealing with individually. So to hear from another man's perspective is much needed, really. Much needed. Thank you very much, Ron.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Yes, yes, yes. We got a few minutes to go. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to Don Wolf. And there's been a lot that's been shared since you've been on hold, both of you and Oshinde. And as we get ready to release the show, what are the things you want to say, just to, you know, last comment about what you've heard, maybe the calls or anything else that's bubbling up for you, Don Wolf?
I was taken aback. First of all, just two things. Sankofa nailed it. What she said was absolute truth, that fear that she described.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could have said it better than she did. And
right.
She needs to stop telling everybody our stuff. We got an image to maintain. I'm joking, but she killed the whole macho thing. How am I gonna walk and strut into a room now with her words in my ear? How could any man walk into a room strutting who have heard what she said? Even her words were transformative, because she didn't apologize for saying that. What she said, the way she said it, has to be in the ears of men. And Big Brother who came in, I have to confess, I was deeply moved by that. I'm the oldest brother, and I remember the time. There's a responsibility of the older brother to stand in front of his brother, not only to keep somebody from physically confronting him, but also to do exactly what he did. I've done similar things, and as the brother, little brothers get older, they really appreciate it because we'll take it. Our brothers, we were all together yesterday. We were joking about our childhood, and in the midst of it, the grandkids sitting around, and in the midst of it, one of them pointed at me and said, "But none of us would be here if Gregory hadn't been in the front taking the blows and then telling us what not to do, what he did." And when Big Brother came in, that really moved me deeply. And again, that's something that a lot of people need to hear. They need to hear what's a big brother's responsibility to his little brother.
So true. That's why if Ron is up to it, I would like to, we'll talk with Celeste and Yvette and see if we can bring him back up. Well, we can always make it happen if he's available. But yeah, it's important, and I think that's how we can start continuing the healing process. There are men out there doing great work, but we need to keep the conversation alive, and even just tying in with what Sankofa said. I think, it's like part of the domestic violence is the fear of that feminine energy. That's vulnerable, that looks like it's soft, but it's quite powerful. And until we can learn to be with that and not run from our own pain, from our own emotions, we're going to project onto others. About what you heard or anything that's bubbling up and your big brother called in.
Yes, I first want to thank him for that. That was awesome, and I honor his transformation. Yes, because he's come away. Yes, and it's been a great ride. The thing that comes up for me is that I think surrendering to that indwelling presence, that sacred self, and just the more we tap into that, as it shows up in the masculine, as it shows up in the feminine, and the more we honor ourselves and our own ways of transformation, I think this is an evolutionary process, and right now we're just at a moment where it's culminating to its precipice, and so we're having these passionate discussions. It's coming up, we're having this community healing forum coming up for African American men at Guidance, and so this is some stuff that was shared in the facilitator training, these same kind of conversations. So it's something that is sparking and the fire is raging, but you got to remember that people have been conditioned for hundreds of years,
That's
to
right.
process and to be in a state of fear, not only of the black woman, but their own self, their own potential.
Okay. Yes.
So we have a lot of work to do, but now is the time because the frequency is right, and the angelic beings and the soul warriors, they're all there with us. And so, it's just tapping into it. Seize the day,
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I am so, so grateful for you, Ashende, Don Wolf, Sabrina, Sankofa, Vaughn, Yvette, Celeste, those of you in the chat room, Electra, Zobotron, and all the other listeners, and those of you listening on the archive. Thank you for your consciousness. And my brothers, I thank you both for being here every month, to sharing your insight and open up the consciousness of humanity. I am so grateful for you both. Thank you very much.
Ashe, thank you.
Mm. Yes, yes, yes. Life is good. It's getting better. Don Wolf, Gregory Ewoods, you can find him on Facebook. And also you can find Ashende Among on Facebook as well. Ashende's name is spelled A-S-H-E-N-D-E, Among, and A-M-U-N is his last name. Don Wolf, I think he's on Facebook. You can find Gregory Ewoods. And, yeah, wow, what a show. At the end of the day, what Ashende said, we must all be responsible, and Sankofa was saying this too, be responsible for ourselves, for our own health and well-being, and not be afraid to make that journey to connect with the indwelling presence. That is the answer. I don't care if you believe in God or not, if you're religious or not, spiritual or not, there is something in you that knows no drama, that knows no confusion, that doesn't know judgment, that is just there for you to say yes. It's there waiting for you to recognize its presence, to guide and direct you in all that you're moving through, even while you're fearful, brothers. It's a personal journey, and yet it's a collective journey as well. I invite you to find a group, a brother, somebody you can share with your deep, darkest secrets. Because unless you share your deep, darkest secrets, it will hunt you down. It will hunt you down. It won't let you be at peace. You've got to make space for it. And I'm praying, knowing that every man is trusting and making their way back into themselves, going deep in consciousness so that they may go higher and be a representation of expanding light and love personified. I'll be back tomorrow with Monique Ruffin. Monique Ruffin's taking responsibility for your health, wealth, and well-being. And I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Be loved. Be true to yourself. And be loved. Be loved. This is State of Man. Their website address is stateofmanmusic.com. This is I Have Forgiven, and I'll be back tomorrow. And once again, go forth and multiply the consciousness of truth and love, peace and blessings. And don't forget to activate the love matrix.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.